For the next several weeks, we are going to talk about life. When Jesus came among us, he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." But if we're honest, for many of us, life can feel more like striving and struggling. According to Jesus, there are only two paths in life: the way of the flesh or the way of the spirit. And in our world, these two ways of life always overlap. Our world is an ever-changing mixture of life and death, of good and evil. There is no neutral space. The structures, norms, and narratives of our culture shape us, whether we actively recognize it or not. Some shape us in positive ways, but many distract us, numb us out, and perpetuate ways of being in our lives that lead to our destruction, not to new life in Jesus. Spiritual practices are ways for us to keep in step with the Spirit, giving Him daily consent to change us and empower us to go a new direction in our lives, to make us new.
So we're in this five-part series called Life by the Spirit, and I launched this series a couple weeks ago on June 9th by standing up in front of all of you and saying that, look at me, I am a mess. And what I meant by that was that inside of me and of every follower of Christ, there is a battle that's waged between our sinful nature and the Spirit of God. And one of the passages I looked at a couple of weeks ago was this passage from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The Greek word is sarx. It means like our sinful nature. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." So that passage says that there is a battle going on inside of me. There's no neutral ground. I can either keep in step with the Spirit, or I'm basically keeping in step with the sinful nature. There's no middle ground. And I gave the illustration of me flying into a fit of rage about something silly that my wife did, and I know it's wrong, I shouldn't do this. But those kind of things happen in our life. So what this series is about learning different disciplines, or trying to practice different practices that are ancient practices that can help us keep in step with the Spirit. So we're looking at these four different practices. Here is the calendar for the series. Last week, Pastor Matt and Hannah Bussey talked about worship, how it should be a regular part of our life. And then today I'm talking about fasting. Next week, Pastor Craig will talk about the Sabbath. And then following that, Pastor Ben will talk about being in community. So you can see from the calendar that today is June 23rd, and today's talk is about what? And I can tell you're all really excited about that. Some of you are thinking, "I chose the wrong Sunday to come to church." However, there are people in our community that are really excited about fasting, because I don't know if you know this, you can just Google this, fasting is cool. It's like very trendy. The idea of intermittent fasts are like really a big deal today. So a lot of people that have nothing to do with Christ or nothing like that, they're really into fasting because of the benefits, the physical benefits of fasting. One of you is also really excited about fasting, and that person emailed me right after my talk on June 9th, and this is what he said. "I am a primary care doctor at UW and was excited to hear that you will be giving a talk on fasting. Fasting has sometimes been viewed in a negative light in modern medical practice. However, I have been fascinated to learn over the past year that fasting is in fact very healthy and beneficial to the body. I have come to see fasting as a foundational practice for health and wellness, and am working on a research study to formally investigate this practice. I wanted to communicate that there is exciting science behind the benefits of fasting, and at least some modern medical providers who are extremely supportive of the practice. There are very few absolute medical reasons why someone can fast. These would include pregnancy, breastfeeding, eating disorders, malnourished, type 1 diabetes. Some blood thinners and other meds have some issues. People on insulin and other blood sugar lowering drugs need close monitoring. Otherwise, people need to stay hydrated with water. That was written to me by Dr. Philip N. Zimmerman, who is a medical doctor and is also faculty at UW-Madison. So he works, he's researching in this topic. So we have our own Dr. Phil at Blackhawk Church. So Dr. Phil and I went back and forth a little bit about fasting, and his research is very, very fascinating. So here's kind of the bottom line here on the physical side of fasting. I'm really not going to talk about the physical benefits of fasting, although researchers in this field say that there are some real benefits. What I need to say to you that is this talk is about fasting from food, and the safest thing you can do for your body if you have any concerns is to talk to your physical doctor, your medical doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a research person. I'm a spiritual doctor, basically. What I want to talk about today are the spiritual benefits of fasting. Now, Dr. Phil has been kind enough to recommend a website that you can go to learn more about fasting. And if you go to our blog page, we will link you to a website that he recommends. But today, I want to talk about the spiritual benefits of fasting from food. I mean, it is a very ancient practice. It's been around a long time, and it's all over the Bible. The word fast or fasting occurs about 75 different times in the Bible, most of those times in the Old Testament. Jesus fasted, and he recommended fasting. He said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. Fasting has just been a part of the Judeo-Christian tradition for like centuries and centuries. There is no one verse in the Bible that says, here's the reason you should fast. No one verse like that. All we see in the Bible is just, it's just assumed that if you're following God, you also fast on a regular basis. It's just assumed. There were different lengths that people fasted in the Bible. Here are a few of those different time periods. 1 day, Saul's army, 3 days, Jewish people in Persia, 7 days, mourning the death of Saul, 40 days, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And by the way, Dr. Phil says it's very possible to fast from food for 40 days as long as you stay hydrated. You have to stay hydrated, but people fast for even more days than that from food. Most of the time that we see fasting in the Bible, it's associated with prayer and bringing petitions before God. Here's just a handful of those verses. This is from 2 Chronicles. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. This is from Daniel 9. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition in, what does it say? Fasting. And in sackcloth with ashes. This is from Ezra. So we, what does it say? Fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. And then from Luke 2, the birth narrative, as Luke is talking about Anna, this woman who came and prophesied over Jesus, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And then in Acts chapter 13, as the church in Antioch is about ready to send Paul and Barnabas on this missionary crusade. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I could just go through verse after verse after verse in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Because what we see in the Bible is that people who were serious about God were also serious about fasting. It was just a normal part of their spiritual lives. There are many benefits to fasting. But also we read in the Bible that there are some people who fasted for the wrong reasons. And we also see warnings about that. So there are two reasons that we shouldn't fast. The first reason we shouldn't fast if we're thinking that by fasting, we're going to manipulate God to do something that we want him to do. If we try to manipulate God through fasting, he's totally against that. One passage that's about that is in Isaiah 58. In Isaiah, the people were moving away from God in their ordinary lives. They didn't care anything about people who were poor. They didn't care anything about injustice. They were all about themselves, but they masked that by this religious practice of fasting. So here we read, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" So they're complaining. "Yet on the day of fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords, the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood?" See, the people in Isaiah's day, they didn't care about what was happening around them. They didn't care about injustice. They didn't care about poverty. And they were doing their religious ritual of fasting, and they thought, well, God should listen to them. So they're being rebuked by Isaiah. No. Don't think that you can manipulate God by your religious observance. God really cares about these things. If you're not about justice, if you're not about relieving poverty, then you're not about what God's about, no matter what you do. So fasting can be bad if we use it to try to manipulate God. How you guys doing? Fasting can also be bad if we're doing it to try to show people, look how spiritual I am. Fasting can be really bad if we do that, and we get that from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going through the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying in chapter 6, verse 1 of the book of Matthew, "Be careful when you do your acts of righteousness, not to do it before others in order to be seen by them, but your acts of righteousness be seen by the Lord. So when you give to the poor, don't do it this way, do it this way. And then when you pray, don't just be about everybody seeing you, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. This then is how you should pray." And then what does he say then? He says, pray this way, "Our Fathers," and then that's the Lord's Prayer. Right after he finishes the Lord's Prayer, what do you think he talks about? He talks about, when I do this, you can participate. Yeah, the subject. Isn't it interesting? We make a big deal out of the Lord's Prayer, right? Oh boy. But then right after that, fasting. And some of us, like, have never done that. Huh. Jesus, Matthew 6, verse 16. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." What Jesus is going here for, he's going against hypocrisy. Don't, when you give money, make a big deal out of it. And when you pray, make a big deal out of it. And when you fast, make a big deal out of it. Because the Lord is interested in what's going on in your heart. He sees that which is unseen. So that's where the emphasis is. so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. So that means that when you fast, it's not the time to take a selfie. Hey, I'm fasting today, watch me, you know. Or you finish your 24-hour fast or 48-hour fast, and you say, hey, finished, awesome. Okay, so that goes right against what Jesus is talking about. So this is actually practically difficult when, if they follow the spirit of what Jesus is talking about, is that people should know that we're actually fasting. Makes it very difficult if you're a speaker and you're trying to teach on fasting. Like, do I talk about my own personal life and how do I do that with keeping Jesus' command, that kind of thing. But practically speaking, when you fast, it can be really difficult to have a breakfast or a lunch or supper because we eat so much with other people all the time. And when you're fasting and then somebody's saying, what do you want to eat? And then you go, well, what do you say then? So it can be awkward. So I've found that I think what Jesus is really going for is that you're not to bring it up. But if other people bring it up, so, hey, how come you didn't order anything? Say, well, yeah, I'm fasting. I found it's easier because intermittent fasting for physical reasons is becoming more and more popular. So like more people are fasting today and they're not doing it for spiritual reasons, they're doing it for physical reasons. So it's kind of actually more and more common. So don't make a big deal out of it and just say, yeah, I'll take water with lime or lemon. And that's good enough. There are some very good reasons why we should actually be fasting. And let me just quickly go through a few of those reasons, because let's admit, we all love food. So I'm saying you should stay away from food for a period of time. Why, Pastor Chris, should I actually do this? Here's a few reasons. First, fasting resists the constant pull of always desiring more. We live in a world today where if you order anything on Amazon.com, they know your profile. And the next time you go to Amazon, they're suggesting some other things that you probably should buy too, that go with the last 20 things that you ordered on Amazon. And there's a constant urge in our world to constantly desire more and more and more. When we fast from food, which we actually need and desire, we kind of go, I don't need to respond to all my desires. And we have a little victory over that urge of desiring more. How you guys doing? Do you follow me? Fasting can give you a victory. It's like, I don't have to live by my urges to desire more. I know that because I was successful in that 24-hour fast. You guys follow me? Yes. So it can help us resist the desire for more and more and more. It's exactly what our culture is all about. Second reason fasting's a good idea. Fasting resists the notion that my physical life and spiritual life are not connected. We live in a world that basically says, hey, listen, let's compartmentalize here. You got like your physical life, and that's about eating and working out in the gym and doing exercises, and then you've got your spiritual life. Hey, you should work on your spiritual life, and that's what you're doing right now. You're actually going to church, and you're listening to some guy talk about the Bible. So, hey, you're working on your spiritual life. But these two things are completely different compartments in our world. I don't know where that philosophy came from, but it didn't come from the Bible. Because the Bible basically says is that we are not to compartmentalize these things, but they are integrated. They come together. What I do physically affects my spiritual life. And what I do spiritually affects my physical life. They are one. The classic illustration of this is when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now we could just meditate on that phrase right there. Like, wow, why does he need the Holy Spirit? Wow. left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing, focuses on food. He was hydrated, he didn't eat anything during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Matthew, in chapter 4, in his account of this scene, finishes that quote from Deuteronomy. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's from the Deuteronomy 8 passage, which in your devotions this week is the passage that we focus on. What Jesus is saying is this: man doesn't just need food. Humans also need the Word of God. We're not just one, we are both. Physical and spiritual in human beings and in himself are integrated into one. We need both food and the Word of God. Food is so important to us. I mean, it's essential, right? Let me be a prophet here. I'm going to predict what you're going to be doing 20 years from now. On June 23rd in 2039, if you're still alive, what you're going to be doing on June 23rd, 2039, if you're still alive, is that you will be eating. If you're not eating, you'll be looking for food. Because eating is essential to us. It's essential. When we intentionally say no to food for like a 24, 48 hour period, when we say no to food, and then when you get hungry, it reminds the spiritual person that we don't just need food, we also need the Word of God. That leads me to my third point. My third point is this: fasting resists the notion that I'm strong and I don't need God. When we stop eating, the first 24 hours, we become hungry. And according to Dr. Phil, I just learned this from him, there is a chemical that is released. Basically, the reason you get hungry in the first 24 hours is because your body is in a pattern of I eat at this time, and then I eat at this time, and I eat at this time. And when you mess that pattern up, there's a chemical inside of you that goes, "Hey, wake up up there, wake up, wake up, wake up." You're not doing the pattern. But after 24 hours, that chemical is suppressed and it doesn't release anymore. That's why if you've ever fasted for 48 hours or more, you notice that your hunger diminishes. But during that first 24 hours, you go, "Hey, I'm hungry." It reminds us that we need something from outside of us to strengthen us. We can't do life on our own. We need food. And in the same way, it should remind a believer, I cannot do my spiritual life on my own. I need the Word of God. Are any of you in a situation right now where you're lax on your Bible study, you're lax on devotions, and you think, "Oh, I'm doing fine, I'm doing fine"? Fasting will curb that, because you go, "Huh, I'm hungry for food now." When you're hungry for food, turn to the Word, because God says you don't just live on food, you also need the Word of God. Last reason fasting's a good thing to do is this: it resists the notion that I should always be happy. We live in a culture that's all about, "You should always be happy, always be happy, always be experiencing joy." Where does it say that in the Bible? Because sometimes we mourn and we grieve. Feasting, which is also biblical, is for joy and happiness. Fasting, just the opposite. Many places in the Bible, when we see the word fasting, it's associated with mourning and with death and grieving. Here's a few places. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending his calamity. This fasting is all about rending our heart. It's all about being repentant before God. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. Our world says you should always be joyful, always be happy. The Bible says almost just the opposite. When is the last time you mourned over your sin? Over your sin? When is the last time you mourned over other people's sins? When is the last time you experienced grief with the loss of a loved one, and then you just said, well, I'm going to feast now and eat a lot? The biblical response to death and dying is not, let's eat, is let's mourn, let's grieve, let's fast. Feasting is about joy. Fasting, not so much. It reminds us of sorrow. Not too many weeks ago, I was having a glitch with my iPhone. And it wasn't a big problem. I mean, it still worked. But I couldn't figure out, I couldn't fix it. So I was on Midvale Boulevard, and I was near the Apple Store. And I just thought, well, I don't have anything to do. I'll just go over to the Apple Store. Maybe I'll talk to their geniuses. Or you don't have to go to the genius bar to talk to a genius at the Apple Store. They're like all over the store. So I just walked in and I said, hey, I'm just, you know, they talked to you right away. And I said, hey, I'm just having some problems. Oh, what was your problem? And then I explained my problem. What do you think the first question the Apple employee asked me? Or to put it another way, if you were at work and you're having trouble with your computer and you call IT up, before the IT person is going to leave their desk and come to your station, they're going to ask you a question on the phone. What is that question? Yeah, did you turn it off and on? So that's what the Apple person asked me. And I said, no, I forgot to do that. So, like an idiot, I turned it off and then counted to 10, turned it back on, and the problem disappeared. Has that ever happened to you? I'm always impressed that such a simple thing can have such a powerful effect. That's fasting. It's simple. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is stop eating for 24 hours. It's like a reboot to your spiritual system. It can reboot your spiritual lives. Many of us are going through a spiritual dryness. We feel dry. We feel like we just had to kind of wrestle ourselves out of bed just to even get to come to church. Our devotional life is not what it should. And we cannot remember the last time we cried for a loved one who doesn't know Jesus. We can't even recall that time. Our life with the Lord is not what it should be. Here's what your spiritual doctor is telling you to do. Why don't you do a reboot? Have you tried that? It's really simple. Just choose a day. And after your 6 p.m. meal, don't eat again until 6 p.m. the next day. And when you get hungry, pick up the Word of God. When you get hungry, get on your knees and pray. When you get hungry, weep to the Lord about your own sin in your own life, or weep for the salvation of someone that you love. It's not hard. It's very simple, and it can make a huge, huge difference. Again, during this series, we are providing you with some help with our devotions that are on our website. You can go there, go to the YouVersion app. We give you some suggestions. We give you different things to read. But I'm just saying, fasting, you guys, as a spiritual practice, is not very difficult. God's people have been doing it for centuries. Jesus assumed his people would do it. When we fast, we find the words of Moses to be true. Matthew 4, verse 4. Read this together with me. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth. You know, I don't think everybody read that. Let's read it out loud, okay? Do it together with me. Ready? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. Do you believe that? Fast. Let's pray. Father, there's a battle going on inside of every one of us. Many of us are giving in to the sinful nature just way too much. We need something that will reboot us. We pray, Father, that you would use the simple practice of fasting, so simple, to reboot our spiritual lives so that when we are hungry for food, we pick up your word. When we desire something to eat, we get on our knees and pray. We pray, Father, that you would help all of us to experience a flourishing in our spirit because of the simple practice that we begin in our lives to fast. We pray this in Christ's name and for the sake of his reputation, all God's people said.